TSCRA Talk, a podcast by Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. I'm your host, Kristen Brown. Joining me today to discuss propositions in the upcoming election is Melissa Hamilton, the Executive Director of Government Relations for TSCRA. Melissa, thanks for joining me for the podcast today.
Thanks. I'm excited to be getting to talk about this with you today.
Tell us about yourself, your background, and then also what you do at Cattle Raisers.
Sure thing. So I graduated from Texas A&M, and after that, I went to law school at the University of Texas, and I got involved with government first back in 2008 when I went to work for then state senator and now comptroller Glenn Hager. And so that's where I started in government, worked for him for 4 years, went over and did government relations for the Texas Department of Insurance. After that, I was honored to be appointed by Governor Abbott to be the public counsel at the Office of Public Insurance Counsel. And I did that for 4 years until I got the opportunity to join the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. And if you get an offer to join TSCRA, you take it. The association means a lot, not only to ranchers throughout the state, but to me and my family personally. We've been members for generations. My family has been ranching. I think we're on the fifth generation now in both Goliad and DeWitt counties. So this is a job as well as a love for me. And at the association, I run our government relations department. And so that means we handle not only lobbying efforts, both in Austin and DC, but also engaging and watching regulations that happen at both levels, and also working with our policy committees in the association.
Well, that's awesome. And it sounds like you bring a wealth of knowledge. Today, we're talking about some of the propositions that are going to be on the ballot next month in November. So let's just dive in. Let's start with Proposition One. I'm just going to let you take it and run with it.
Sure thing. So there are 14 propositions on the ballot this year, and that'll be November 7th, 2023. So the general fall election, there will be 14 propositions on the ballot. And there are a lot of them. There are a lot of good ones, but there are three in particular that we're going to talk about today that directly impact ranchers, landowners, and rural Texas in general. So going right to the one you mentioned, Proposition One is the right to farm, ranch, engage in timber production, horticulture, and wildlife management. But more generally, people refer to Prop One as the constitutional right to farm and ranch. So the right to farm and ranch. And this one is obviously very near and dear to the cattle raisers, but also to all the ag groups. There is actually a website, the Right to Farm PAC, that's been established to help provide some information about this constitutional amendment. And if you go on there, you'll see just a slew of supporters from across the agricultural community, which we are one as well. So this proposition is basically going to enshrine in our Constitution our right as Texans to farm, to ranch, to produce timber. And basically what I like to think of this as is enshrine the right of us to feed and clothe and shelter ourselves, our neighbors, our state, and our world. So this is just to me enshrining a right that is a basic right to survival, quite frankly. It applies regardless of the size of farm or ranch. It doesn't talk about regulations. There have been some misconceptions out there that the right to farm and ranch is only for large operations. That is absolutely not true. This applies to an ag operation from 1 acre to 1,000 acres. So it applies to all and it protects all. In addition, there have been some misconceptions out there that this proposition will either create more regulation or create fewer regulations. Both of those are untrue. This does not talk about regulations. It's simply creating a constitutional right to engage in farming, ranch, and ranching. It is part of, just to kind of give it some context, it's part of a larger effort that happened at the legislature this session. Two bills were passed to update and strengthen our right to farm law in the state. Those became law on September 1st of this year, and those will continue to become law separate from this proposition. But the importance of this proposition is that, you know, laws can be changed, but constitutional amendments are much more difficult to change. And not only that, a constitutional protection is a statement to the legislature and to the courts this is an important right and deserves adequate due process and is a right that really needs to be preserved. And only on very rare, very warranted circumstances should it ever be infringed, if at all.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. It makes sense to back it up very, very firmly that if there was to ever be a change, it would be a process that the public would be very informed about and have a say in. Is that correct?
That's correct. So to change the Texas Constitution, items have to go before the Texas voters. So to change this again, it would have to go back to the voters.
That makes sense. Now tell me, because in Oklahoma, there was a similar proposition that did not pass. So what are the unintended consequences if for some reason this proposition gets shot down?
Sure thing. So yes, you're absolutely correct. A similar constitutional amendment did fail in Oklahoma back in 2016. And I think that is a great example of a reason to not take the success of this proposition for granted. I know we often think of ranching and Texas as almost synonymous. And I'd say after Texas, probably Oklahoma is the next state with the richest ranching tradition. So if a proposition creating a right to farm and ranch can fail in Oklahoma, it can certainly fail in Texas as well. I think that's it's particularly important for folks to not take it for granted, to get out and vote, tell your neighbors, your friends to get out and vote. And to kind of follow up on the second part of that question, what happens if it does fail? I would say in the direct immediate impact is that it won't really change day-to-day lives. Those two laws that were passed recently will be very helpful in terms of creating new protections that are immediately available for farmers and ranchers. However, I do think it does two things. And one is it sends a message. I mean, I think it sends a message that Texans don't believe in a constitutional right to farm and ranch, which to me is very concerning. And two, by not having a constitutional amendment, you're taking away a really important protection for farmers and ranchers. So, you know, laws, like I said, they can be changed, they can be overruled by courts, they can be changed by legislatures. But a constitutional amendment is a protection that the voters approve and only the voters can change. And so I think it's important if we don't have that constitutional protection, we're going to be lacking an important protection, especially going forward as Texas changes and becomes more and more urban.
And that makes a lot of sense, especially with the influx of so many people in the state.
I think one of the most important things about Prop 1 and the right to farm and ranch is the fact that farms and ranches are facing so many challenges, from regulatory to taxes, to even with the ag valuation, to taxes, to input costs, droughts, et cetera. There's so many pressures on existing farms and ranches. And when you take into account that there can now be external threats from certain groups who have certain agendas, or maybe just even from really well-intentioned, good individuals who don't understand what it means to live next to or near an ag operation or the importance of an ag operation. When you take in all those factors, it's really important that we recognize it, farming and ranching as a constitutional right.
And what is a unique situation that we're in these days, in these modern times, is for some reason, people have lost that connection. I mean, they're just removed from production. And So realizing a gallon of milk does not just come from the grocery store, that there's a real physical cow, or even if it's almond milk, there's an almond farmer behind that and that disconnect. And so it's a little bit mind blowing that we need these things in place, but it's vital. It is so vital.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. There's such a, before you could even walk, for even the legislature, although the legislature has been amazingly supportive of farmers and ranchers, including bipartisan support. But even then, I mean, used to almost every legislator, probably even 20 years ago, had a direct tie to agriculture. That's not the case anymore. And we're fortunate in Texas that we still have a legislature that, even if they're not directly tied to it, have a real respect and love for it. But that doesn't extend out to the whole population, unfortunately. And some of it's not, it's often not out of a mean spirit or a negative place. People just, going back to what you were saying, they just don't understand what it means to walk into a grocery store and have that gallon of milk, whether it be produced from almonds, traditional dairy milk, whatever, they don't understand all that's required to get those products to the store so that they have choices and they have access to food.
That's powerful. And I think you just drove home the message of why Proposition 1 is truly so vitally important. Oh, and I feel like we could talk about that one for hours, but continuing on, let's dive into the next proposition that's top of mind for cattlemen and landowners, which is Proposition 6. Talk us through this one.
Sure thing. So this proposition is really, I would say, this is years. This is the culmination of years of hard work across different legislatures, bipartisan, by members. This represents years of hard work by members who have been very supportive of agriculture, ranchers, rural Texas. This is after years of hard work, what they've been able to accomplish. And so what it does is it'll help fund some water projects in the state. And what I mean by that is the water infrastructure in Texas has become pretty significantly and severely outdated. So we lose thousands of gallons of water every year to leaks in our existing infrastructure. So pipes that pump water to places, they leak and we're unnecessarily losing water, which, as you know, is a very valuable and diminishing resource. And absolutely, it's necessary for life. And I think it's doubly necessary for farmers and ranchers. So what Prop 6 does is create a water fund. And that water fund is going to finance projects to repair that infrastructure so that we don't have those leaks. And then also to create new infrastructure and to create new programs, new projects to help come up with new ways to maybe clean existing water so that there's more water available. And also to create some programs, including some programs in rural Texas, to help ensure that infrastructure is improved, created, and some new projects are created to help ensure that Texans, both now and in years to come, have access to clean water.
That all makes sense. Okay, and then hopping on down to Proposition 8, that's another one that's top of mind for our members.
Absolutely. This is another proposition that's really the result of years and years of hard work on behalf of the legislature and also the comptroller of Texas. They've been working together. They recognized a while back, I think it was last session, that access to reliable, high-speed broadband internet is no longer just a luxury. In today's world, it's a necessity. If you want to have access to healthcare services like telemedicine, if you want to be able to stay competitive in your business or for your kids with education, so much stuff is online now. So there was a recognition by the Texas legislature and leadership that access to reliable internet is a necessity. What was also found is that in various parts of the state, primarily in the rural parts of the state, there was a real lack to reliable high-speed internet. And so the legislature began and they've continued on their work to really try to find, okay, where is the need for this broadband and how do we get it there? And how do we make sure that it's reliable and continues to be reliable and accessible for years to come? And so Prop 8 creates a broadband infrastructure fund to help with these projects to deliver high-speed access throughout Texas.
Well, and that makes sense. We live on a ranch. We're 30 miles from the closest town, and I am so grateful for reliable internet because that allows me to do projects like this and just be connected to the world. So it's definitely a need in our modern society.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. And I think all of these, but looking especially at Prop 6 and Prop 8, the thing that to me is really remarkable and noteworthy is that you're looking at two propositions that are really show, I think, a dedication on the part of the Texas legislature and leadership to rural Texas. Both of these endeavors have not been easy or quick. It's taken a lot of really consistent work, consistent effort, bipartisan effort to get these bills passed and then to put these propositions for funding before the public. So that's a really important thing to know too, is these are very well thought out, very well researched propositions and programs.
Sure. And that makes a lot of sense that they all have been a long time in the making. So yes. I anticipate that it's really important that we be having conversations with family and friends between now and November 7th. Are there some accurate sources? I know you mentioned the website for Proposition 1. Where can people go to learn more and find out more information?
Well, if you're a TSCRA member, the October edition of your magazine will have an article on the propositions and some information. The Secretary of State's website will have some information. Those are really, I'd say that Right to Farm, and I will say not only the Right to Farm pack, but also Prop 6 and Prop 8 do have different groups have gotten together and created these associations to try to help promote education about these propositions, and obviously are also created to help ensure their success in November. And I don't have specific website addresses for those, but I can try to get you those. But I mean, they're all pretty easy to look up as well. And I've been telling folks, you know, when you look on a ballot, the propositions, the way they're written, there's a lot of legalese there. So I think one of the most important things is to really know those numbers when you walk into the booth.
Well, and I think always when it comes to an election, it's important that the voters be educated and then get there and vote, because it's one of our rights that we need to exercise. And this is important stuff. It's always important.
Absolutely. This election in particular, these three propositions on the ballot can really have a very positive, direct, and long-term impact on ag in the state and for rural Texans in the state. So it's a pretty exciting ballot from that point of view.
Sure, sure. Well, Melissa, any closing thoughts, anything just from the Austin office, from the side of things that you see, any messages that you have for the members, cattlemen, landowners in general?
Always appreciate your insight and input. So please feel free to call, email, text us at any time. And I would say I'm going to be really repetitive right now and just say get to the polls on November 7th or early vote. It's very important. And I tell this to everyone. I'm probably repeating it ad nauseum, but I think it's good. Props 1, 6, and 8 are important for rural Texas and agriculture. So I'm going to close on the very same topic we've been discussing and just props 1, 6, and 8. TSCRA strongly supports and are really positive for Texas agriculture and Texas ranchers.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again for all your insight and knowledge that you shared with us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me to talk to you.
Thanks for listening today. We invite you to be part of one of our ranch gatherings and virtual Ranching 101. For a full list of ranch gathering locations, Ranching 101 topics, and more information about cattle raisers, visit tscra.org or email events at tscra.org.